Okay, here we go. So today is May the 18th, 2004, and we are going to do lesson number 193, Heels Under the Pelvis, number 3, and it's called Lifting the Knees. So last week's emphasis was on the weight coming in between the big toe and the second toe, and this week's is about lifting the knees. So we're just going to continue, and next week we're going to have I'm going to weave in another lesson that will fit in with the upper back into this series, okay? So you just take your time with it, okay? So begin by lying on your back. Observe how you're making contact with the floor this morning. Here they come. Kristen, will you slide yourself forward down onto the front mat? Linda and Mo, you guys can be back there.
Welcome.
Thanks. There's enough room. Okay. So again, just pay attention to your contact with the floor, and then remind yourself of this area that we've been talking about again called the tonden, which is the area in between your belly button and the pubic bone that often we carry a tremendous amount of tension there and holding. And so throughout these lessons, this particular series of lessons that we're doing, there's a tremendous amount of opening there, which allows opening all the way up through the spine to your jaw, your neck. For other forms like yoga, this particular direction of movement we're going into is about opening all the chakras. So just become aware of that area of the tonden, and throughout the lesson is to draw your attention to that area, just observing if there's any tension there that perhaps you can let go of. And the more that you can allow yourself to be open and free there, how that affects how you experience yourself. So begin by bending your knees and bring your feet, first of all, to standing. And let's just do a few movements of tilting or rocking the pelvis to encourage this idea of coming to, like, sit on the tailbone. So you flatten the lower back, and then when you're going the other direction, to arch the lower back, it's again that idea that the belly and the pubic bone comes very far forward, truly as if you start to sit on the tailbone. So you create a very large arch in your lower back, huge. So your spine becomes like a bridge. So just begin to acquaint yourself with the movement. Good. And pause, lengthen your legs, just rest for a moment. And now the other movement is to begin to take your head back into the floor, just very gently a little bit, so that you can begin to let the chest, your sternum, lift up towards the ceiling. And the chest must lift as you take the head back. So it's a feeling of pressing the back of the head into the floor. And it's your skull, it's your head that's strong enough to hold the arch of the upper back and spine. Now, at the same time, you should begin to feel down in that area where the pubic bone and tenden is, that area pushes out and forward. It'll make it easier. That's it. Excellent. So just notice what that feels like in your back, your spine, and then let it go and rest it. Now roll to your side and bring yourself up to your knees. You're going to be on your left knee and standing your right foot. So it's like a knight position. So again, right foot standing, left knee down. That's it. Good. And for those of you who weren't here the last 2 weeks, this is what we'll continue to come back to, is this position. Now tuck your toes under with your left foot. That's the foot and knee that's down on the ground, in what we call a runner's position. And you really want to encourage, and you may even want to take off your socks. It might help so that your foot doesn't slip, so that you get your weight in between your big toe and your second toe. Again, this is what we worked on last week, is to bring your weight in between the toes. Good. Like this, okay? It's really essential. So if you just keep on working it so you've got that feeling, okay? And then with your left hand, you reach back to hold on to your left heel. That's it. And can you think of now sitting back to sit on your left heel? And as you do so, your left knee comes up. Again, this is what we worked on last week. So, Linda, bring your right foot not so far away. You're just so spread out. That's it. Figure out your balance. And start to sit back. That's it. So you can, that's it, Mo. So you first sit your buttocks on the heel, and then your knee pops up. Good. Your left hand should go back to your heel first, and your right hand can be on your right thigh or to the side of you, wherever you need for balance. That's it. And as you're rocking back like this, is pay attention again to those toes, that you come in between the big toe, the second toe, and that you can sit your left buttocks on that left heel. Good. Good. Okay. Pause for a second and just change over the legs. So you just come back up onto your knees and just change them over without taking a break yet. In a way, it's kind of like a mini break, just changing over. And again, I would encourage you to take off the socks because you can feel your toes better. So it should be now that the right knee is down, with the toes in the runner's position, and the left foot is a standing foot. You reach back with your right hand to get the right heel. Excellent, Kristen. And you start to sit back. Your buttock sits back onto the right heel. And if it's difficult to reach back and you would prefer to put your hands in front of you, you can do that. So some of you are twisting your rib cage an awful lot, and you don't want to do that. You want to look for a way to keep yourself, that's it, orientated over yourself. Good. 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 Now, Excellent, Kristen. Excellent. Now come back to standing on both knees. And with both feet, begin to do a movement of tucking the toes under into the runner's position with both feet. And really dig that part, the metatarsal joints, into the floor. So you're not on the toes. It's where the toes bend. Do you understand? Okay, you're not like a prima ballerina. We're not on the tippy toes. We're where there's joints. That's where the power of the foot is. So find it. Yeah, it's going to hurt for some of you because some of you don't use it, and this is why you can't walk. This is why you're not able to walk because you don't walk through your foot. This is where you push off the foot. This is why you can't run. That's the part you need. If you're on tippy toes, you can't run. If you go to the outside of your foot or you do other things, you're not able to run or walk through your feet. So really learn, that's it. So you tuck the toes. So stand up on your knees, tuck the toes, and then flatten them. And tuck them and flatten them. Just stay up. Just go back and forth. That's it, Linda. And then bring them up again. And tuck and flatten. Good. Okay. Let's rest on your back. It's a good time to address it now, so you're not walking super strange later on. I think your toes should be treated like gold. Because there's so much the foundation for what happens above you, or above that area, I should say, not above you, but above that area in your body. Okay, so as you continue on your back, bend your knees, bring your feet to standing, and listen carefully for those of you, again, who weren't here last week, okay? And those of you that were, you'll know what we're going to do. So you're going to reach down with your right hand to get a hold of your right ankle, and you're going to pull the right ankle up so that the heel is going to come underneath your right buttocks, and you're up on those toes again, same position, okay? So you actually lift your butt up and place it on the heel. Just the right side, but the whole butt has to lift. It's pretty difficult to lift one side of the butt without the other not coming up. So you really want to sit, but bring it right underneath that cheek, right in the center. Find the sit bone and have the sit bone and the heel in contact and curl those toes under. You can reach under with your left hand like you were doing Mo. So slide your left hand under, get a hold of the ankle, right? Slide both hands under and really futz with it so that you've got that right heel underneath your right buttocks. And also make sure that the toes are flattened out. There's a tendency, even I have this, with some of the toes, they want to clam up like this. You want them to bend and flatten out. So take the time to use your hands to make sure those toes are flat and that you continue to hold on to the ankle. Okay, hold on to that ankle. Don't let it go. And now in this position, you start to drive the right knee forward as if the right knee might eventually touch the floor in front of you. So guess what needs to happen with the back and the spine that we started with this morning? That's because you've been coming so long, Linda. And so the head tilts back. That's where the pressing of the head into the floor. And it's not important. I mean, your vision is that knee would eventually come forward to the floor. We're not going to get... This is why this series is broken up into 7 lessons. Because this is the area that most of us are so tight. The pelvis, the front of the hips, into the psoas, under the rib cage. Yep. There's not one person in here who doesn't need it. So smile. So you just do a little You rock back and forth. Attempt to continue your breathing. So there are lessons in the Feldenkrais method that are more challenging, that feel a little bit more, in a way, almost like athletic. But the important thing to remember is the function, the purpose of this. It's about walking through the feet. Good. Good. Now, switch the legs. So give the right foot a rest. Remember, both knees should be bent into a standing position. And you reach down now with your left hand to get hold of the left ankle. And again, you pull that heel up underneath the left buttocks. And you can slide your right hand under your back to assist. So use both hands so that you really get the left heel underneath the left sit bone, that they become friendly, and that your toes are flattened out. That's it. And once you're there, again, you can continue to hold on to the ankle, foot, and you start to drive the left knee forward. That means it might eventually come to the floor out in front of you and touch, which means that that area, the tanden, has to do what? It has to come way forward. The pubic bone has to come way forward. It creates a huge arch like a back bend in your back, and you need to be able to weight there on the top of your head to support your spine. So you just rock the knee a little bit forward and then back to the starting position. Okay, and rest. Bend your knees again, bring your feet to standing. And now this time you're going to reach down with your right hand, get a hold of the right foot, the right heel, and pull it up underneath your buttocks. And once you have that, you're going to reach down and get the left foot. You're going to pull the left foot. So both heels are underneath each sit bone. That means your pelvis is now up in the air. And all I'm concerned with right now is that you get the heels underneath your buttocks and that your toes are appropriately bent, that they're flattened out. And you just, on your own, do small amounts of rocking yourself forward, taking the knees forward. You watch too many movies. Okay, reach down with your right hand. I won't let you go, okay? But I want you to hold on to the right heel. Yeah, you can. I won't drop you. I'm not going to let go. Promise. Just don't want you to get the experience. You can grab it. There. Good. Okay. Good. And now we're going to lower you down. Excellent. No, you've got to have that hand there. So you just rock a little bit. Whenever you need to take a break, if your toes begin to cramp or the arches of your feet, you rest, and then please come back to it. So these are lessons that you need to be very, very delicate with yourself. You need to listen to what's possible, and then you rest. But when you take a rest, you really only need a few seconds, and then you can come back to it. We're going to get to that. So in the beginning, your knees will go out because that's how tight you are in the hip flexors and the quads. Okay, so everybody take a little rest. So when I do give you a time to rest, it's really important to rest. To observe your breath and your breathing. Okay, roll to your side and come up onto your knees again. So you will go to both knees. You will tuck the toes under in the back. And just begin with your right hand. So you're standing up on your knees, not sitting. Tuck your toes under. And reach back with your right hand to your right heel and just begin to move the right heel a little bit to the left. Don't sit back. Stand. Find a way to reach back without sitting. So that means you push the belly out. It's back to the tanden. And move the heel to the left and to the right. Again, bringing weight through those toes. That's it, Mo. You really want to get comfortable of. And then you may even reach back and you grab the pinky toe and curl it more underneath. That's it, Kristen. Look at Kristen's foot. She's really got the toes stable there. So you don't want the pinky toe to be flopping out. That's better, Linda. Good. Now, can you rest your right hand on your heel? So stay there. So you actually weight bear. Okay, now as you're weight bearing, think of taking your hips, your pelvis, the tanden forward. So much that you get lighter. The weight gets lighter through your hand, but at no means do you let go. Another way of thinking of it is imagine if I wrapped a strap around your pelvis and I started to pull you forward. Now, some of you are bending to the side. Is it possible that you can take the head back? That's it, Linda. That's it. Just do a little, and then if you need to rest, you can come to child's pose. That means lean your upper body forward. Everybody go ahead and do that on the floor. Next week, I'll talk a little bit about where this posture came from. It actually came from the yoga world. And the importance, the city, town that it was originated. They have statues everywhere in this position. It's very important to them. Okay, bring yourself back up onto your knees. Curl your toes under. And let's see if you can reach back with your left hand. So in the beginning, I'm fine that you reach back sideways and get a hold of the heel and you move it left and right. You get those toes positioned nicely. And then once you have them positioned nicely, can you hold on to the heel and then bring yourself to center? That means your chest is forward. And think of taking or dropping your head straight back. And at the same time, to make you feel safe, the hip joints have to push forward. The tanden has to come forward. There's a huge relationship here between that area called the tanden and your neck. And until you can allow that part to come forward, you won't feel safe taking the neck back. It'll feel like it pinches or. And it has to do with letting the sternum and the chest also come forward. So you just do as much as you can. And then you pause, and then you come back to it. And I personally like the idea or the visualization that somehow a strap or something is wrapped around my buttocks. Not my waist, but my buttocks that pulls the hips forward. You're all doing very nice in here. is a more challenging series. Good. Good, Kristen. Good. Okay. Let it go. Roll onto your backs, please, and take a rest. Notice how your contact is changing. One of the things perhaps you're beginning to feel is that there's a very slight, we'll say, arch or space in the lower back, which there should be. And that that area of the pubic bone and tendon is slightly tipped forward. And really that is, one could say neutral. Some reason, and many other forms of exercise and classes, there's this concept of flattening the lower back, which I just don't understand, because the lower part of your spine will never flatten. We can provide length, but we naturally, if you look at the skeleton, the way that it's designed, there's a natural curve. So how could you flatten out bones that are naturally curved? It doesn't make sense to me. So the experience is you can create length, which gives you a sensation of less of an arch, but the arch will never be completely flat. It's an illusion. Unless you break your back, I guess. I don't know. So roll to your side, come up onto your knees again, please. Have the right toes tucked under, and we'll let the left foot come to standing. That's it. So the left foot is standing, right toes tucked under. And now go back to this earlier movement we started with of sitting back onto your right heel. So you first sit and then you rock the knee up. That's it. So you can either place the hands to the side of you, in front of you. One hand can be on the left thigh. The right hand can be to the side of you. Eventually, you'll see you don't even need to worry about the hands. So you rock forward and then you come back again. And where you place the left foot is very critical. So if the left foot is too far away from you, right, it throws your balance off. So just think of, it's almost like you're going to squat. So some of you really find the need to lean your upper body forward. So that's a beginning. Pay attention to what you do with your upper body, meaning your head, your chest. But then is there a way to just squat back and keeping your head a little bit more over the top of you? Is it really necessary to go back with your head out? Or can you sit straight down? That's it, Mo. You see the difference? It takes a lot more work when your upper body's in front of you, because you have to counteract the weight with muscles in your back. If you think of it, if your head's out in front of you, what's holding that? Something in your back has to work. Very nice. That's it, Kristen. Go back. And now can you lift the knee? Ha, ha, ha. Look at you. Good. Now, everybody change over. So that means your left knee will be down. You tuck the left toes under and you bring the right foot to standing. And maybe you can even now reach back comfortably with that, that's it, with the left hand to grab the left heel. But you don't need to, Linda, do it as you sit back like Mo's figured out. See, as soon as you reach back like this, you're taking your chest forward. So find a way to sit, and you'll see as you sit, your hand just lands there. It's effortless. If you keep your head positioned over your trunk, right, Mo? There's no work. We make so much work for ourselves. So the hand just ends up being, now that's it, slide that foot back. Good. Now just think sitting, less forward. Okay, now put the hand back on the heel. Now rock the knee forward and keep your head over your pelvis. Just rock the knee forward. Not with your head. Just take the knee forward. See how you do it with your body? It hurts your toes. No, it's because your thigh is so tight. Your quad. Excellent. Good. Okay, rest on your backs. It's interesting, though, that the left toes, which is the left knee and the left pelvis, that those toes hurt. I find that I have curiosity about that. Whereas the right leg, not a problem. So could there be a relationship between what happens in your hip and your pelvis and how you've compensated through your toes? And so now you've got pain in your toes. You want those little toes happy, like when you were a little child and you did this little piggy went to the market. This little piggy went home, right? This one ate roast beef. This one had none. We could throw tofu in there. Okay, bend your knees, bring your feet to standing. Please use your right hand to get a hold of your right foot and slide it underneath your right cheek, cheek being your buttocks. And if you need to use the help of your left hand, do so. Do whatever it takes to bring that right heel right underneath the right cheek and then get the left one under the left. You know, eventually you'll find it's actually easier if you just grab both at the same time. And you really want each one underneath. Now, with your knees, begin to do a few movements, of can you bring the knees together and then widen them? Just feel what that does. What happens when you start to bring the knees together? What happens in what we call the quad muscles, the thigh muscles? Now, can you think about bringing the knees together safely and at the same time taking the knees forward? So again, safety is the word here. You only do as much as possible. So you're not going to be probably able to go as far. And that's okay. You're just exploring what is it like to begin by taking the knees together and then taking the knees forward. Excellent, Bev. Because now if you go back and let the knees be wider apart, is it easier for the knees to come down a little bit more? Excellent, Bev. Absolutely excellent. So again, whenever you need to pause, you can pause and then please come back to it. Get those feet underneath there. And maybe think of just the right knee. Let's just try the right knee. See if you can now drive the right knee forward far enough that you bring your head back and you've got the back of your head resting on the floor too. So it means the neck, Bev, and the chest has to lift. It means your chin has to move far away from your sternum. Your chin, in fact, is directed to the back side of the room. And just think of driving the right knee forward. And see if it's possible maybe to alternate them. So once you drive the right knee forward and then once the left. And I would suggest, at least my experience for myself is, I prefer to hold on to the ankles. It stabilizes me. It makes me feel secure. And you also can bring weight onto your elbows. So So take the right knee a little bit further forward, then it comes back, and then the left. And you just go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Okay, rest on your backs. Okay, roll to your side and come up to standing on your knees. And this time you'll be on both knees and you'll tuck both sets of toes underneath. So that means you're standing on the knees. And bring your right arm straight out in front of you. Okay? And begin to look with your eyes straight out in front of you at your fingertips of the right hand. And begin to take the right hand straight up towards the ceiling. And at the same time, again, your eyes, your chin, follow the fingertips. And is it possible to start to take your hand behind you? Once you reach the ceiling, what would make it possible? So this is why it now becomes so important that you can bring those hips forward. That area called the tendon and pubic bone need to come forward to balance the arm and head going back. So again, please only go as far as it's comfortable. Tuck your toes under, Kristen, that's it. So you balance also with the toes. When the toes are in that runner's position, it holds you. So your chest, hip joints, belly button, all needs to come forward. And you only go back as far as it's comfortable. And see if you can have a little bit of curiosity here. So that when you get to your furthest range, you can ask yourself, where could I bring another part of myself further forward that somehow would let my head and arm go a little bit more back? Is it in the hip joints? Is it in my belly? Is it in my sternum? Is it in my throat? Be curious. I think curiosity is the state in which creates the greatest amount of change. It's when you learn the most. Very nice. So let's change arms. And again, you're always welcome to pause and take a break whenever you need to, and then you just re-enter the movement. So you start with the left hand now, straight out in front of you. Your eyes are looking right at the fingertips. The chin comes away from the chest. You start to take the head back, so your sternum, belly button, hip joints, all needs to come forward. That means shooting out in front of you. Is it easier with one side or one arm than the other? And then the other thing you can do is as you're going up with the left arm, that's it, Linda, somehow your right hand or arm hangs behind you, and guess what? It's right there on your right heel. How amazing. So that's another way to give you a sense of security, is you can rest your right hand on the heel, and that lets you explore where you can increase the arc. What can you bring more forward but you don't want to lean too much onto that heel. Good. And if you want to change hands again, change sides. So if you want to just play with it just a little longer, and if there's some of you that need to feel like you really need to completely rest, that's fine too. So again, as one arm is out in front of you lifting up, the other arm just beautifully hangs down by your side. It somehow ends up on that heel. Good. Good. Now everybody just come forward and rest in what we call child's pose, which is on your knees. And you sit back on your feet, and you can lengthen your arms straight out in front of you. Rest your head down on the floor. Okay, bring yourself once again standing onto your knees. And actually, that's it. You're on your knees. And curl your toes under and have your feet, bring your feet together so your heels are together. That's it. And now lean on your hands in front of you. That's it. There you go. That's it. And from that position, begin to lift up both knees and bring your buttocks to sit on your heels. That's it. So you'll walk your hands back, and then you'll walk your hands back forward. Good. Good. So you want your big toes touching and your heels touching. And you've got your toes curled under, the same runner's position. That's it. Now, the next time that you come to sit on your heels, is there a way to keep your upper body now, in a way, up, bring your hands to your side, and can you start to lower your knees down without walking your hands forward? So the constraint is that your upper body stays where it's at, and you just drop the knees forward and now pull them back. Ha! Huh, what do you know? Yeah, but you don't have to lift your bottom up. You just shoot them just straight forward. You make it so much there. Harder. That's it, Kristen. And now then let them go forward. You learn to just pivot your pelvis underneath. That's it. Now see if you can do one at a time. Can you be a little more graceful? Yes. Those of us that are really athletic are high achievers, so we can get there, but then you look for the beauty, the elegance in the movement. Can you hold your arms out in front of you and do it?
Are your feet totally like this together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So your back's rounded right
now. So is there a way to lower maybe one knee at a time and bring it up? Keep your arms straight out in front of you to balance. Just try it like this. One knee, both knees, come back. And if you need to spread the feet a little bit apart, you can spread them a little bit apart now. Just find a way, feel what you need in your back, in your posture, to find the balance. Mo, bring your arms straight out in front. That's it. Think of elegance. Now, can you also lift your butt a little bit up? Feel the power a little and back down. So feel the strength in those toes. That's it. Now go back to trying to drive the knees forward. That's it, Kristen. Excellent. You see, it takes the back out of it. You learn to use your feet. Very nice.
It's funny, the balance changes when you close
your eyes. Oh, absolutely. Okay, let's rest on your back. You will have happy feet. So one more time, lying on your back, bend your knees, bring your feet up to standing. That's it. Reach down, get hold of the right ankle and then the left. Pull them, those heels up underneath your buttocks. So you lift the buttocks high in the air to sit onto the heels. Toes are tucked under. I mean, this should be coming so easy and familiar. Take the back of your head back so that your weight bearing on your head. Your chest is lifted, and see if you can start to drive those knees forward. And you might feel like you can drive one more forward than the other. Again, eventually with the idea that they someday, they will be able to touch. Not that way, Bev. The toes are flat. Don't curl them under. The toes are flat. The same thing we've been doing the whole time. And if you want, I think it's easier with both feet underneath you, but you can try one foot at a time. So see if it's easier. If you want to pull one foot, one heel underneath you, keep that other foot in a standing position. And now just begin with the idea of driving that knee forward. So bring, let's say, the right foot underneath, the right heel. Keep the left foot standing. Now, can you be stable enough? Can your buttocks be on that right heel enough? Can you lift the left leg in the air? Yay. So you need your head. You need the back of the head to press into the floor. That's it, Linda. Okay. Let it go and rest. We will continue. I know you're so ecstatic about it. I remember the first time I did this series, and it was next to impossible, which sparked my curiosity to keep trying, and it's become my favorite series of lessons because it just stimulates or provides so much freedom in your body. It's unbelievable. It's almost like an exhilaration, the openness. So notice how you're lying there now with your legs long. Sense your spine, your pelvis. Become aware of that area again called the tanden. How are you breathing? Is there something about how you're feeling now that somehow you feel more alive, energized, awakened? I guess that's another feeling one gets. It's as if a part of you has woken up. When these parts of ourselves that become dormant, and we stop using them, it's like almost like they are dead. And all of a sudden, they become alive again. They're woken up. Do you feel happy or sad? Okay, so taking your time, please roll to your side. Come up to standing. And again, stand on a hard, firm surface, especially for those of you at home. That can be carpet, but firm surface. To observe now how you feel in standing. What is your experience now of your feet, of your toes? How do you sense the pads of your toes now? How are you organized in your skeleton over your feet? Feel how different it is where your shoulders are. Now go ahead and start to walk around the room and look for this idea of walking through the toes. So that same position, the heel lifts. And you eventually push through all those toes. That's it, Kristen. And even encourage yourself maybe to take a little bit, slightly, we'll say larger strides, slightly, and more bringing the feet directly in front of you. So some of you have a tendency, see, if you turn the feet out, everybody turn your feet out and walk kind of like a duck. Feel when you walk with like a duck, turn your feet out. Walk like a duck. So turn your toes out. So your heels, you can't lift the heel. You can't walk through the toe. You know how many people walk around like this? Or often it's one leg, you'll see. Very frequently, one leg is really turned out and the other. So you're really not walking through your feet and your legs anymore. Now bring your toes more in front of you so that the foot is relatively straight and walk through. Feel that the heel lifts and you press through those toes. And there's almost a moment of growing tall. You come up over yourself. Yes? So I would encourage you to play a little bit with this throughout the week so it stays fresh and familiar. So whatever it is, whether it's pulling the feet underneath, the buttocks, just the walking part, getting on your knees and curling the toes under. But throughout the week, please explore some of these different movements so it stays familiar with you as we continue this series. Okay, everybody, have a nice week.